Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Everyday Church. We are a body of believers in Oklahoma City with a mission to live out our faith on a daily basis. Let's listen in as we hear a powerful message from God's Word.
Well, this past week was Valentine's Day, and I hope you had a great one. Obviously, Valentine's Day is a holiday of romantic love, and I think because of that, a lot of people don't understand the Christian origins to Valentine's Day. You think, Christ can't be involved with that type of love. But there is, some historical truth to the origin of why this holiday even came around. Now, there's a lot of different theories on how Valentine's Day happened. This week, Isaac was even asking me about, hey, why do we even celebrate? Of course, he would ask this question, like, Valentine's Day, girls are icky. Why do we even have this type of holiday? And so I had to kind of remember and think back, but there's lots of different theories, but kind of centers around this idea that Christians at one time are like, hey, there's this secular type of worldly holiday. We want to change that into more of a pure one, and so they wanted to honor Saint Valentine, who was a minister that performed weddings when it was illegal. The Roman government did not want their soldiers to get married because they felt like single soldiers were better fighters. But those that did want to marry, they had to do that in secret, and Saint Valentine would marry them, perform the wedding, and then was busted and martyred for wanting to honor God with marriage. And so we now give out gifts, and we set up special dates to honor that huge sacrifice of giving his life for people to be able to honor God through marriage. Now, how many of you at Valentine's gave a gift? Anyone give a gift? Okay, anyone receive a gift? You might want to sure that matches up, okay, because that might be important. All right, hopefully that if your significant other is here, that matched up. Now, okay, so we kind of use gifts as like, hey, we love you. You know, I want to express my love to you that I love you so much. Here's some chocolate, or here's a card, or here's something sweet and special. Now, who in here actually gave a gift to someone that you care about, that you love, but have annoyed you at some point in your life? Anyone give a gift to someone that you? Okay, that's fair, right? I mean, if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Because we understand no one is perfect. And I'm not even talking about like major flaws. I'm just talking, even little annoying habits. Those can happen, right? But yet, to help the relationship be healthy, to help the relationship be all that it can be, you kind of have to overlook something that is annoying about that other person. No one has zero flaws. No one in this room, no one online could say that there's nothing about them that is completely annoying free. We have to admit that. I know Kim, okay? Kim has to put up with a small list of things. She just had to put up with a small list of things of me that's annoying. I'm too funny, too cute. You know, those types of things. I got to put up with Kim's list, okay? I mean, we all got to do it, right? We just won't go there. Okay, so, but we're all not perfect. We all have screw-ups, and that's okay. We endure, we put up with these things because we know that the relationship is worth it. And I'm not talking about evil things. I'm talking about preferences. There's preferences you might have that your spouse or significant other might have that are different, and we choose to overlook them. Well, what we're doing, we're going through Ephesians. Last week, Pastor Dave helped us get into chapter 4 with verse 1. We've already gone through the first three chapters, and now we're into chapter 4. He looked at the very first verse, and he talked about us walking in a manner that is worthy to the calling we've received. And he talked about how Jesus, that we've been called by God to know Jesus and to make him known. That's a calling that we've received, and we want to be prayerful about how that plays out in our everyday life. And he did a great job of kind of leading us into that time where we really just say, God, we want to walk in that way. We want to walk in a worthy manner, and we prayed about, God, help us understand that better. Help us to walk in that way. Now, the first three chapters really are different in Ephesians. The tenor of that is more Paul kind of expressing to the believer about understanding their forgiveness that they have in Christ, who they are in Jesus, and then understanding that because of that forgiveness we have in Christ, that we've joined into one big family with Jews and Gentiles alike. And then in chapter 4, he goes real practical. and kind of really through the rest of Ephesians, it's very practical instructions or helpful instructions how believers are to live distinctively different than the rest of the world. How this all plays out, really kind of how we all can walk in a manner worthy of the calling that we've received, and how we'll stick out if we walk in such a way, and how we'll look different than the world around us, okay? And so I want us to go back to that first verse, and then we're going to read the next few verses. We'll go to verse 6, okay? I want to cover that today. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, just as a reminder, and then we'll go 2 through 6. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord... We've told you this. He's in jail as he writes this. He says, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there's one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. And so there is Paul kind of continues this train of thought, which we've discussed, that Jews and Gentiles were on the same team, and even greater, were in the same family. But then he gives this incredible nugget, this amazing truth on how to stay united as believers. At the end of verse 2, he writes, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Now, this phrase right here, making allowance for each other's faults, would solve a lot of tension between friends, and between lovers, and hear me, even between Christians. That little phrase of make allowance for each other's faults. Now, the Greek, really, word here, it is not the word for forgiveness. Paul's word that he uses, it really means to put up with, and not begrudgingly, but more of an encouragement to make it through, to endure, is really the idea of what he's writing. I'll show you a couple other places this word, or the root of this word, is used in the New Testament. Matthew 17:17, Jesus said this, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you?" This put up comes from the same root word. Jesus kind of comes along frustrated that these people have such a lack of faith. And he says, how long am I going to have to put up with you? Endure? Then in 1 Corinthians 4:12, Paul writes, "We work wearily with our own hands to earn our living. We bless those who curse us. We are patient with those who abuse us." Patient in this sense comes from the same root word. It means, okay, we put up with. We endure these persecutions. We make it through. It's sort of like a dog, a good dog that is around a baby or a young child, and that young child doesn't know how to treat the dog and is grabbing the hair. And that dog could probably tear up that baby, but it's a good dog. Now, not all dogs are like this, but a good dog just kind of takes the abuse, you know, from the kid, because that dog knows they're going to be in a world of hurt from the parents, the owners of that dog, if they attack the baby. And so they just kind of begrudgingly, in this case, would put up with a kid grabbing their hair and stuff. Paul's like, we endure through the trouble. We do put up with it. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, we proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. Again, this same root word. This time it's translated endurance. So we see kind of put up with, make allowance for, we see patience, we see endurance. And so overall, it carries more weight than just put up with. You are intentionally making it through. It's purposeful endurance. Okay? This is what he writes. Hey, purposefully endure when people do things that wouldn't be to your liking. I'll show you one more time. This word is used in the New Testament. Colossians 3:13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, this is important because he says overlook or endure, make it through, but he also then adds forgive. So the driving force really that Paul is going for is that as Christians, we would get along. That even though there will be differences, even though we're not all the same person, in our uniqueness, in our differences, we would make it through. We would endure. We would get along. And part of that is going to be forgiving. But Paul knows, okay, conflict can happen. Paul had conflict. But he knew it was so important for the mission of Jesus to advance. The people of Jesus had to have unity. And that's why his encouragement to Christians is, you got to stick it out. You got to stick together. If this mission of Jesus is going to go forward, if we're going to advance the cause of Christ as Jews and Gentiles, as believers, as one team, one unit, one family, we're going to have to be together. We're going to have to find common ground. We're going to have unity for this mission to advance. And the only way to have that unity is to endure, to put up with people. Because none of us are perfect, including you. We are all messy to some degree. We all are. And we're all growing and we're all created differently. But despite our differences, unity is a must. It's a necessity for a believer. You say, how in the world can we achieve that? Well, in this instance, in the issue of unity, hear me out, it starts with a me, not a we. For unity, don't look at the we first, look at the me. It's going to start with, okay, now this is going to sound weird because I'm going to flip it to you. It starts with you. It starts with me. I've got to make that decision about unity. You have to make that decision about unity before you can look to other people. It starts with a me, not a we. The issue is, what's your role in unity? And thankfully, the Bible lets us know. The first way to have unity, to keep the peace, same idea, is this. Number one, be gentle. Be gentle. This is how the conversation starts, okay? In chapter 4, verse 2, after walking in a manner worthy of Christ, this is kind of showing us the way to do that. He says at the very first part of 2, always be humble and gentle. Gentleness is a lost art, right? Today's culture is really all about he or she, who's the loudest wins. Who can be the most abrasive? You're right. That's kind of what our culture celebrates. In fact, I would say gentleness has left the building and Karen has arrived, right? I mean, that's who showed up right there, okay? Sorry, Tiffany, do you know that her? You're like, okay, so gentleness is gone. Karen has come. Abrasiveness is celebrated way more than gentleness. But the way of Jesus and the way of unity is through being gentle. Now, there's a phrase, maybe you've heard it, the exception to the rule. You ever heard it? That's the exception to the rule. You heard that phrase, right? That there's an exception to every rule. But if the rule is gentleness is the way, there can be some exceptions. Jesus was harsh with a group of people, those that were arrogant, puffed up, and considered themselves righteous. He was very harsh with them. You maybe remember Jesus' righteous indignation of overturning some tables in the temple because they were overcharging and using it for profit instead of for the worship of the Lord. Okay, there is a time to be harsh, and Jesus knew that, and that's a fine line. And Jesus, being God, he could walk that line. Us, we better be very careful with that. But Jesus led with tenderness. The rule was for Jesus to be tender. He fed the 4,000 plus. He fed the 5,000 plus. He allowed children to come to him when the disciples were like, no, that's annoying. He said, no, let the children come. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He loved the leper. He forgave the woman caught in adultery. The rule for Jesus was gentleness. Obviously, there were some exceptions, but he led with gentleness, and it wasn't weakness, it was gentle power. Now, we don't act as if that's the rule. We have it backwards. We treat the rule as be harsh, and the exception is be gentle occasionally. That's wrong. That's reverse. Our default should be gentleness. That should be our default, not harshness, not abrasiveness. The go-to default for us should be gentle. If any relationship, I'm talking about friendship, I'm talking about husband and wife, I'm talking about any type of relationship, for it to be all that it can be, to survive even, someone's going to embrace a spirit of gentleness. And so when someone else is cold to you, don't take it personal. Don't let that affect how you respond and who you are as a person. You be gentle. Don't lose it. Now, one of the easiest applications is your online presence. How do you come across? There's a lot of keyboard warriors out there. A lot of trolls. Are you more abrasive because you're hidden or you feel a little safer? Or does your true self come out even as gentle, even in conflict or disagreement? Okay. What about in real life? What about not the virtual world? What about when things are wrong at the restaurant? What about when things are slow in line? Or Karen cuts you off? Listen, I know a Karen. I love Karens, by the way. I feel bad for any genuine, nice Karen because they have, their name has been tarnished, right? You know, but that stereotype of people, what happens when things go wrong? Are you more Karen or Christ? We need to be known as gentle people. So to keep the unity, we need to be gentle. We also need to be patient. Be patient. Paul continues with this thought after always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults. Some of you have as much patience as I have hair. And I'm not talking about my arm hair. I'm talking about my scalp, right? Patience is thin. And truthfully, this can be me. It's a fleeting virtue. This morning, my computer was being slow as I was finishing up some research for this morning, and I was highly frustrated. Come on, computer. Why are you so slow? This is 2022. What's going on here? Then it reminded me of the olden days. Do y'all remember the olden days? You had to wait on this sound. Anybody remember that sound? Some of you are too young to know that sound. Emily, do you know what that sound is? She has no idea what that sound is. Isn't that awesome? Bailey, who's just a little bit older, I asked her. She said, the only reason I know that sound is from movies. I'm like, oh, gosh. She's like, you know that one, Tom Hanks, You Got Mail? I think I heard it in that. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. But, some of you are old enough to remember a time when you weren't so easily reached, and if you wanted to look up something, it took a long time. It took hard work. It wasn't a quick Google search. You're like, it was sometimes so hard work, like, I'm not even going to try. I might have to go to a library. You know, it's like, wow, what a different. We used to have a number where you had to call to find out the time and the temperature. Emily, you have no idea about that life. Thank you, Jessica. That was my next example. When you wanted to find out a movie time, oh my gosh, you call up. You'd have to call the theater. Hopefully it wasn't busy. Then you'd have to listen to the pre-recording. And your movie could be last, but they're going through every movie. And if you called a movie theater with a lot of movies showing, it was worse. But then I had this happen several times. My movie would come up, and I would either be distracted or I was off in la-la land because I was waiting forever. And then I missed the stinking time. I'm like, I got to hang up and call back. Gosh, this was just a day and age, right? Ugh. Patience has left the building, right? Patience is no longer a virtue in our culture. But listen to me. It is a necessity to unity. It's a necessity. You got to have patience. If we're going to get along with others, we're going to have to allow people to grow, to have some micro evolution, so to speak, to grow. Isaac, I want you to stop right now, okay? I'm being patient with you, and I need you to focus up. Point. Hopefully you realize you not only need to allow people to have the space to grow, you need to grow. You need to give yourself space. You might be further along than you ever dreamed of, and that's great. But there's always time to grow in your faith with Jesus. There's always this journey that we're on with him. We will never arrive until heaven. I've been a Christian a long, long time, and I'm still growing. I still need to grow. I'm still on that journey. Verse 1 says, we walk in a manner worthy to which we've been called. It's not a sprint to be in the manner which we've called. It's a journey, and it's a journey to be more like Jesus. And so I need to allow patience to others, and I need to allow patience even to myself to have unity. But it's funny for us. I think it's our culture is really different right now, obviously, and says, hey, give as much freedom to kids right now. I'm like, man, at 13, I didn't have it all figured out. I needed boundaries. I needed someone to teach me absolute truths. I didn't need more freedom. I needed people to help me on that journey. We need to allow people to grow and to evolve, micro-evolve as a person. I know when I was 13, my thoughts, my emotions were all different than they are now. And so even in my journey with Christ, there's things that I probably thought and held on to more when I was younger than I even do today in my current understanding of the heart of God. Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. I want to read it again. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Being patient can actually end tension. It can end conflict. Being impatient can cause a war. Now, again, this doesn't mean we don't have boundaries. This doesn't mean we don't call sin, sin. You've got to understand this. This doesn't mean we can't call people out, but the rule of thumb is that you want to be patient with another person, allowing the Lord to produce the growth necessary. We'd want people to be patient with us. Let's give that same blessing to others. As we prayed in our welcome time, baby Bryant is going to be born this week. David and Bailey, we would consider them foolish if they had this expectation at the birth of their baby was speaking in full sentences. Not every child is going to be like my two that spoke two languages at birth. Okay, it's just not going to happen. Their languages were wah-wah and woo-woo. But they would not have that expectation because they know growth needs to occur for their baby. Now, David probably does have that expectation knowing him, but it ain't happening, right? And so we at some level, we understand I need to be patient because this is a process. Don't ever lose that. And in the Christian walk, why it gets tricky is that we think sometimes that discipleship is linear. There's step one, step two, step three, step four. It's not. Some of you in this room are already better at step four than step two, but it's not sequential. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's more circular in manner. It's messy. It's not. Some of you, God has already helped you overcome something here or strengthen you here, and then you struggle here. And then it's the reverse for someone else. They're strengthened here. Their attitude is better. They're not quick to judge, but yet you're still working on being quick to judge. And so we need to still be patient with people in their journey with Christ and in the process of becoming more like Jesus. So we're gentle, we're patient, and thirdly, we need to be loving. Back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. We read this, making allowance for each other's faults. This because is a big because of your love. That is absolutely important to this whole idea of putting up, enduring, and allowing making it through someone else's mistakes or annoying habits or whatever it may be. Love has got to be there. Unity will never occur if it's not rooted in love. Never. You will never have unity if you don't have love. Love is the nutrients that produces the peace, that produces unity. And the word he used is very important. He picked agape. There are several words for love. I've gone through them before in a message. More of a brotherly love, more of a romantic love. He chose God's way of love, agape, unconditional love. If we're going to put up, we're going to endure, we're going to make it through, if we're going to have unity, we got to love like God loves. We need agape type of love, a love without strings, a love without conditions. We're to love in this way. In fact, what Jesus says is that our love for one another, how we love other people, proves if we actually believe in Jesus. Whew. John 13 So now Jesus says, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, God's love, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus says the world's going to know if you follow him or not by how you love one another. So are you showing love to others by not holding offenses, not putting your preferences over, but enduring and putting up with someone or putting down someone? It's going to speak to who you follow. Are you writing people off? Are you loving people through the mess? Seems like a daunting task. But I think if we were honest, we'd say, I could probably love people. You could probably even say, I could probably love people on my own. I could be kind, nice. I could show love to people, but my guess is that's probably only the lovable. It's kind of easy to love the lovable. Some people are just easier to love, right? Some people are just so nice, and it's just easier to love those people. And Jesus said something that's really hard to swallow here. And the only way to accomplish what Jesus said is through having a life changed by him. Real quick, I want to give Easton a shout-out. That's Kayla's youngest, who's one of our big e-kids. Last week, he came up and said, hey, Pastor John, I got a joke. He's a young, what is he, first grade, second grade, so young. He said, I got a joke. I said, okay, Easton, tell it to me. He said, what's the hardest tea to swallow? I'm thinking, any tea, because I don't like tea. Tea's not my favorite. Like, start with Dr. Pepper or something like that, or coffee. But I said, okay, Easton, I'm going to go along with you. I'm going to say sweet tea is the hardest tea to swallow. He said, no, the hardest tea to swallow is reality. That's pretty good, y'all. Come on. Jason, you'd approve of that joke, right? That's good. Y'all should chuckle then. I saw a lot of smiles, but you can actually, laugh. LOL, you got one of those in you? Let me try it again. He said, Pastor John, the hardest tea to swallow is reality. Thank you, Cruz. Cruz, thank you so much. It wasn't even my joke, Cruz, but I'm going to own it, okay? Yes, yeah. Come on, Bill. Yeah. Reality. That's really good, okay? I thought that was funny. Here's some reality from Jesus. Now, was he crying or laughing? I'm going to say he was laughing. I don't care if it was crying, it was laughing. Crying, laughing. Like, he was laughing so hard, he was crying. That's good. Okay. We're going to sip some tea from Jesus right here, right? We need a, can you find a meme of Jesus being Kermit sipping some tea real quick? Don't do it. Okay. Here's some reality from Jesus. Verse 43 of Matthew chapter 5. You have heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, those are the lovable people, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you're kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. People that don't believe, they're going to do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. All throughout the New Testament, the people of God are commanded to be people of love. That's how we're known. If you love another person, then you got a shot at unity. But if you don't, there's no shot. But here's the thing. Most unloving people don't even know they're unloving. That's the hard part. They don't think they're unloving because overall they're a nice person. They don't like just pour out hate. But most unloving people, where they get caught up is they look down on other people. They just view themselves as better. And so they don't really extend love to those around them. I'm going to let the half-brother of Jesus, James, give us an example. James chapter 2, verse 1. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, "You can stand over there or else sit on the floor," well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed. It is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You're guilty of breaking the law. Now, what sin is he saying is being committed? The loving thy neighbor. When you show favoritism, you're not loving your neighbor. Whether that's finances, which this is the context of James. If you're showing favoritism to finances, that's a sin. But I think we could also easily add, if you're a racist, if you look down on people at all because of some status, you're not being a loving person. And if you aren't a loving person today, would you just ask God to increase your capacity to love? Would you repent of your sin and say, "God, give me the eyes of Jesus so I can look at people as Christ would"? If you're too cool for school, if you look down on people, you're in the wrong. You need to check yourself and repent. Turn from that. Now, guess what? We all can grow. So just if your toes were stepped on then, our toes are all being stepped on in some capacity. We all need to grow. And this is an area that some could grow in, to be more loving. Unity is dependent upon it. We need to love people more. Gentle, patient, loving. And the last one is this. We need to be eager to have unity, to have peace. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, we move on. This is what he says. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now this phrase, make every effort, it comes with the idea of speed. That's why some translations will say make haste. We don't really use that terminology much, but the idea is that you quickly get after unity. You're not delaying. There's no delay. You dive right in to make unity, to do your best, to have peace, to have togetherness with other people. This past week, we were driving back from a Thunder game, which was really cool. Someone gave us tickets and had great seats. And on the way back, a wreck on the interstate must have just happened not many minutes before we arrived. But as we were pulling up, cars were pulling over, and people were running to the wreck. That's the picture. They were eager to help. They were eager to provide assistance. They made every effort to enter into a scene to help. As we saw people sprinting up the interstate to these cars, we knew what they were about. They were there to help. And they were eager to do it. We, as believers, are supposed to run to those opportunities of unity. Not run from them, not be people of avoidance. I'll just stay back here. We're to run to them and be people of unity. That people say, whatever is within the realm of accomplishment or possibility, I want to be there. I want to enter into that scene. Now, let's be honest. Some people don't want you there. We can be real about that. We could imagine at that scene, someone was like, "I'm not hurt. Don't help me. Go away." Even though maybe people were eager to help, sometimes people refuse, right? So let's talk real quickly about those who don't want unity. Hear me today. You are responsible for you. That's it. You are responsible for you, not him or her, not them, you, and how you act, how what you do, how you live, you're responsible for you. No one else. So you be gentle. You be patient. You be loving. You be eager. Do what we talked about. You do that. You just do you. And you be the person Christ has called you to be. You cannot control their responses. And you need to let that go. Because you can't. You can't determine what they do. You just do what you can. Someone got really mad at me yesterday at a basketball game. It's too fresh to talk about it. But the idea is someone was very upset and approached me about it, and I responded with a compliment. There was no unity found in that moment. The compliment eased the situation to a certain degree, but then it continued to have discord. Separate, but discord. I can't control that other person. I can only do me. I can only do the right thing. And now, this, I could probably tell you horror stories of me not doing the right thing, okay? But the point is, I'm responsible for me. And so I could, in that situation, hold my head high, even though unity was not achieved, and I can rest well because unity was not achieved, but because of, hey, I'm trying to do what the Lord wants me to do. Now, if you're not doing those things, you have a role to play. And that's why the me in this situation is greater than the we. You do what you're supposed to do. And if there's an area where you could say, you know what, in this situation, I could grow in my gentleness or in my patience or in my lovingness or in my eagerness, then I want you to pray and ask God to give you that supernatural help. This is a supernatural thing, by the way. Listen, it's not always easy to do these things we've talked about. Let's just be real. We talked about it previously about the flesh. There is a sin nature that wants to rear its ugly head and to come back, and the enemy wants to trip you up and doesn't want you to be a great example for the Lord. That's why it's important to walk in the Spirit. That's why it's important to grow in your relationship with the Lord, because all these things are really supernatural to walk in this way. But we got to be aware of it. And that's why Paul says, hey, be humble. Be patient. Be gentle. Do this with love. Be eager. He's giving us these practical tools and truths to help us on this journey. And so listen, I don't know. My bet is, as I've talked, there's been situations that have popped in and out of your head about, yeah, there's not unity here. You can't force the unity. But what you can do is let the Lord grow in you the person that wants unity, that is available for unity, that is even eager to enter into situations to help with unity. And so as we close today, I want the Lord to speak that to you. And maybe in your e-groups tonight, you can kind of talk that out of what that looks like. But in this moment, as we wrap up, I want you to pray. So would you bow your heads, close your eyes, get in that space. God, what area or areas do I need to repent of and to grow in? And then, Lord, you ask him, would you grow me in this situation? Would you help me? What the Holy Spirit put into the scriptures for us. As you're praying, I'm going to just read the text one more time over you. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. God, I pray for all of us that we could embrace unity, embrace peace. As far as it's up to us, we would do what you have called us to do, to be humble and gentle, to be patient with each other, that we would make allowance for others' faults because we love. Help us to love. Help us to love one another, to prove, to show, to display that we truly love you. Help us to make every effort to keep ourselves united in the Spirit. Supernaturally, God, help us be the people that you want us to be. Lord, we welcome that. We welcome the refining process to help us be more gentle, more patient, more loving, and more eager to have the unity that you want us to have. May we be that people. In your name we pray. Amen. This is Pastor John. Thank you so much for listening to the Everyday Church Podcast. For more information on us, or if you happen to make a spiritual decision during this message, please let us know and go to our website, www.everyday.church. There's an email link that you can click on, and we would love to hear from you. If there's anything going on that has happened during this message, if the Lord has spoken to you, or you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Also, if there's a prayer request or concern, then you can email us, and we would love to take the time to pray for you and respond in any way that we can. Again, thank you so much for listening. God bless.